Hello children, today I'm going to teach you a very interesting lesson on the rise of assertive nationalism. Now before I move on to the depths of the chapter, let me first explain what is the meaning of assertive nationalism. Now it so happened that we all know that Indian National Congress originated in 1885 AD. At that time the leaders were called moderates, who wanted to fulfill their objectives by cooperating with the British government in India. Up to 1906, the control of the Indian National Congress remained in the hands of such leaders who were called moderates. But it so happened that during the rule of Lord Curzon, due to his repressive policy, there were differences that were created among the leaders of the Indian National Congress. A group of leaders who came into existence in the Indian National Congress who did not believe in sympathy and justice of the British government in India came to be called as radical nationalist or assertive nationalist. And who were the main leaders of the assertive nationalism? Lala Lajpat Rai, Bal Gangadhar Tilak and Bipin Chandra Pal. So you must remember their names. Now let's look at their beliefs. What did they believe? What were the principles of the assertive nationalism? As I told you, they had no faith in the British sense of justice and fair play. They had no faith in the English institutions. They were of the opinion that the British had achieved the political power in India through unjust and improper means. The assertives had deep faith in Hinduism. They considered religion as part of nationalism. The assertives believed that the British had ruined the civilization, so it is essential that they must become independent to protect the civilization of India. They did not support the moderates' theory. They believed that Swaraj should be achieved and no other reforms could be brought. Now, I've used the word Swaraj. What do you mean by Swaraj? According to the assertive nationalism, it means complete freedom from the British rule. They also did not believe in adopting the methods of the moderates. They advocated the adoption of revolutionary means for the fulfillment of their demands. The assertives had faith in the strength of the masses. They wanted to make the national movement as the movement of the masses. Now let's come to the objectives. What are the objectives? The first main objective, as I'm repeating, is that they wanted to achieve Swaraj. That means complete independence. And Bal Gangadhar Tilak had said, Swaraj is my birthright and I shall have it. Lala Lajpat Rai also favored Swaraj, and while demanding Swaraj, he said, a subject people has no soul, just as a slave can have none. A man without a soul is a mere animal. A nation without a soul is only a dumb driven cattle. Thus Swaraj was the first requisite for a nation, and reforms or good government could be no substitute for it. Now the next point is disestablishment of the relations between India and England. The second main aim of the assertives was a disestablishment of the relations between India and England. Bipin Chandra Pal said, we do not want to establish relations with the British. We want our own government in India. Now let's move on to the causes of the rise of assertive nationalism. The first factor is disillusionment of the early nationalists. The moderate leaders made petitions and passed resolutions to present the demands of the British, hoping that they would get justice. Their expectations were not at all fulfilled. The British hostility towards the moderates led to the rise of assertive nationalism. The moderates. Now the second factor is dissatisfaction with the Act of 1892. Now what happened is that the moderates had sought reforms in the Indian Councils Act of 1861 AD, but under the Councils Act of 1892, the official members still dominated the Legislative Council. This failed to satisfy the younger elements in the Congress and they turned to radical means. The third factor was the economic exploitation of India. Peasants suffered due to high taxes, prolonged droughts and famines. Countryside was not being used to fetch high revenue, but even the farmers were being persuaded or forced to grow certain crops like tea, cotton, indigo. Various land settlement systems were also exploitative in nature. India's handicraft industries was on the decline due to shortage of raw material, and this created a massive unemployment in India. There was also no relief in the salt duty, excise duty, and other taxes in spite of Congress resolution.